The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn, he finds them so. Blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, I want to thank those of you that were here last week and came back for the second part this week. But if you weren't here last week, I'll tell you a little bit about my sermon. I talked about God's plan for saving for the future. Now, our culture puts a lot of emphasis on saving for the future, for retirement. Most of us are already there or very close to it. But then we need to balance this need for the future security with living in the present, right? We need to make room for in our current lives for God to be rich with God, as Jesus put it in our passage from Luke last week. We must be careful not to live just for ourselves, like the rich, foolish farmer did last week in Luke's gospel. He had great plans for the future, but he never got to enjoy them. So how do we do this? How do we live in the present and not worry about so much of what the future holds? Well, the key is to live by faith. Easy, right? It's easy to live by faith, right? Not so much. What does living by faith look like? Well, we have a great example this morning. We are fortunate in our readings today that we hear about someone from the Hebrew scripture, what we call the Old Testament, who lived by faith. Some of you may know the story of Abram, who God renamed as Abraham. Abraham's story is a great story of faith, a faith of many unknowns and fears. The author of Hebrews today defines faith as this: the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the beginning of Abraham's story, when he was still known as Abram, God promised Abram to make him a great nation with many, many descendants. Even though Abram and his wife were well past their childbearing years and were still remained childless. Now, as Genesis, the reading tells us, God told Abram, "Do not be afraid, for his descendants would be as numerous as the stars," he told him. And though Abram was very old, he believed God's promise to him. We know from Scripture that Abraham had two sons, but just one to his wife Sarah. And their son Isaac, the nation of Israel, would be born from. But Abraham did not get to see that great nation born. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way about Abraham's faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac, his son, and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable as grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham had great faith in God and believed the promises God had given him in the beginning. Now, does that mean Abraham didn't make any mistakes along the way? Well, if you know the whole story about Abraham, you know he made many mistakes along the way. One of the mistakes that Abraham made was not waiting for God to have a child with Sarah, his wife. So he decided to have a child with Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. That didn't work out so well. Another mistake was calling Sarah his sister instead of his wife, as he was traveling and he almost lost her to a king along the way. Not very good of Abraham. You see, Abraham was not perfect, but he still believed the promises God had made him. And even though he stumbled along the way, his faith remained strong. And that is what he is remembered for. Now we just have to fast forward 2,000 years to the time of Jesus. And we hear Jesus say to his disciples this morning, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Haven't we heard this before? "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Once again, we have the advantage of hindsight, don't we? We know what the disciples of Jesus were able to accomplish, spreading the good news of the kingdom of God, even in the face of much opposition and certain death. Yet they lived by faith, believing that it was God's good pleasure to give them the kingdom, and not the kingdom of the world. No, the kingdom of God. Were the disciples perfect in their actions of their faith? Absolutely not. All we have to do is remember Peter's denial, Thomas doubting, Paul's persecution of the early Jesus followers. Yet, with all the disciples stumbling, all the things that they did wrong, they remained faithful to Jesus. And if they didn't, we wouldn't be here today. This fact should encourage us to give us great hope for today, some 2,000 years past Jesus. You see, to live in the present without being afraid of the future requires us to grow our faith in God. 365 times in Scripture, God tells us to not be afraid. Now, if you think about that, that's one time for every calendar day in our year. A coincidence? I don't think so. How do we grow our faith? Well, first, we have to study the stories of the faithful people that we find all through Scripture. People like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the disciples. But secondly, we have to listen to each other, the people that we see as faithful people, and listen to each other's stories. And third, we need to reflect on our own and watch for how God has changed or is changing our life, is changing our faith, so that we can share those faith stories. Now, between last week's gospel in Luke and this week's gospel, there was an amazing passage that I wish we didn't skip over this year, because it sets up our gospel this week, and it's so important. I want to share it with you. I think it's something that you probably have heard before, but I think it's worth repeating. It tells us how to be present and remain to be faithful. Jesus says this to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, what do you worry about? Why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like the ones of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat or what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive for all of these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Strive for God's kingdom, and your needs will be met. It is after these words of encouragement from Jesus that we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus reminds us to let go of our fears and know that God loves us and will take care of us. When we live in fear, it chokes out our faith. And we need to live in the present and live in what God intends for us. Now, typically, when we find "do not be afraid" from God in Scripture, it is a verbal prelude to an announcement of God's mighty act or saving deeds. And it is the starting point and anchor for everything else in these passages today. We heard it twice. Do not be afraid to Abram. Do not be afraid to Jesus' disciples. It is a prelude to the promise of God to give us the kingdom. Promises given create a shared expectation about the future, and they bind together the giver and the receiver of that promise. Promises by nature create relationships. Promises create hope. Promises believe create faith. All of our instruction about our Christian life, Whether it's about prayer or money, watchfulness, care of our neighbor, and more, are therefore anchored in the gospel promise that if that is indeed God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Because Jesus' promises are true, then we as his disciples of Jesus can indeed resist the seduction of accumulating wealth just for ourselves, not fall prey to the constant anxiety about worldly needs, share what we have with others, and know that we will always be ready when God calls us home or when Jesus returns. Throughout this passage from Luke, when Jesus is commending us to have faith in God's provision, faith that frees one to be generous, faith that enables one to leave anxiety behind, faith that creates in one confidence about the future, secure not by our own human endeavor or achievement, like the foolish rich farmer did last week in our passage, but secure by God alone, trusting in God alone. Jesus does not simply hold out faith as a model or a goal, much less as a standard for us to be judged by. Rather, Jesus creates faith by announcing a promise. Like a parent loves their children deeply and desperately wants good things for them, so also is God's good pleasure to give God's children the kingdom. Jesus gives us a model to live our life, to live in the present without fear of the things that could happen to us in the future. Jesus wants us to take our fears away so we can live in the present, not worrying about what tomorrow will bring. Let us remind ourselves daily of God's love and promises to us of the kingdom so that we too can live without that fear of the future and by faith live in the present in this world today. Amen.